So you see that the only option is to work on yourself. Now, does working on yourself have anything to do with whether you protest, march, drop out, drop in? No, it has nothing whatsoever to do with that. Because at any moment, you are consciousness involved in a nature package. That nature package includes your heredity, your environment, all of your personality characteristics, all of the opportunities that exist at this moment, all of your attitudes, all of your predispositions. It's a whole package, right? That package is functioning under the laws of karma or the laws of the universe. In other words, that package is unfolding. It's just lawfully working itself out. As you get more conscious, however, every act you perform increases the amount of consciousness in the universe because the act itself conveys the consciousness, right? In other words, I could tell you the greatest truths of the world, but if I don't understand them inside, forget it, because all I'm doing is taking it from there and giving it to there, and I'm not giving you the key that allows you to use it, which is the faith in it, which I can only convey through my own success in whatever I'm doing. So then, with all of that said, it's quite apparent that as you work on yourself, on your consciousness, you continue to do whatever dance you're doing, or the dance evolves. As you're conscious, you begin to see how the acts you perform can become more and more optimum to the conditions. That is, when you're about to change a law in the country, you begin to understand the way the whole system works as you stand back one bit, and you see what the optimum act you can do is. And the optimum act you go and perform, and you perform it totally without the attachment to, emotional attachment to that act, but an awareness of how that act works in the whole system. You hear what I'm saying? In other words, it's the ability to sometimes to have delay of gratification, if you will, to the ability to stand back to do what is the more optimum response. Sometimes it's the immediate thing to do. In other words, a parent may or may not slap the child, and the parent may or may not be emotionally involved in slapping the child, and the parent may or may not understand totally how many of the ramifications involved in slapping the child. These are all different places that they can work in. So, finally, the general rule applies to all action, no matter whether you tell me that the world is going to end tomorrow, or 5 years, or 10 years, or the bad guys win, or the good guys win, or it's all up to me, see? Or what we've got to get together and do something. All of that leads me to always the same response. I will work on myself, since the work on myself is going to be the highest thing I can do for it all. Since I understand that as man up-levels his own consciousness, he sees more creative solutions to the problems that he's confronting, see? Therefore, it always feeds back to the same place. But working on myself is just like this. This is social action at the moment. See? I'm not, and yet this social action is totally without attachment. I can't be concerned with whether you can know this or not. I can only do what I do. Because the minute I'm concerned, I'm caught. The minute I'm caught, I only catch you. Yes, you still are.
Yeah. Would you tell the same thing, say, to black? Black struggle is like a little bit different than, like, I can sit here and hear what you're saying and I can.
Right. I hear all that, yeah. The situation, yes, I certainly can tell it to him. Whether or not he wants to hear it or not is something else. In the West Coast, I would say that I have at least 500% higher participation of blacks in my lectures than on the East Coast, right? It's as if many of the more of them are ready to hear this kind of information because they've begun to see the futility of their strategy. Right? That they're going to lose what they wanted in the bargain with the game they're playing. Right? Now, the matter of consciousness is how quickly you give up a past model so that you can be here and now. In other words, the deck has been now redealt. The Negro is really psychologically in a different space than he was a year ago. Now, he's been oppressed for hundreds of years and he worked very hard to get to this moment. How many years should he have to now be preoccupied with how hard it was to get here? How long should that capture his consciousness? Right? In other words, if I've been driving and speeding and I'm given a ticket, How long does the ticket eat away at my intestine and the acid secrete, and I sit around rehearsing the thing and saying, well, if I had said this and he shouldn't have done that and I got to fix it? Or how much right after that can I be here and look out and say, wow, look at the sun, isn't it beautiful? In other words, how long do I perseverate, right? And the Negro's predicament, the black man's predicament, is how long he perseverates at this point. Because the minute he can come into the here and now, he will appreciate that there are literally hundreds of thousands of other people around him who see him as another human being in the here and now, and see blackness as secondary rather than as a primary consideration. Now, is he going to spend the rest of his life punishing himself for the punishment that he has had by retaining the paranoia, or does he give it up? See? And the problem is of how quick he can up-level his own predicament. That's the question. It's for all of us the same question, you see. And all I can do to help him up-level his own predicament is for me not to get caught in it. See? Because he can say, look, man, you're whitey and I'm going to beat the shit out of you. And I can say, yeah, baby, I understand, and here we are. Right, here we are. I understand the whole trip, why you got to do that and why you feel that and all that. But here we are. I see it and you see it and now here we are. Now what? Now what? And that's a fierce one. It's fierce because there are many people that are getting so many points out of their melodrama, and they've been on such a thin reinforcement schedule that they don't want to give up the brownie badges they're getting, see? And that's true of the psychoanalytic societies, and it's true of the blacks, and it's true of the sexually beautiful women and the rich men in our society, and the handsome men. They're all getting fantastic payoffs in our externalized culture, which is not going to be enough in the long run for any of them, see? But they're saying, well, I'll take it now, see? Even though there is... Buddha pointed out very clearly that, just like Christ said, when he said, lay not up your treasures where moth and dust doth corrupt and thieves break in and steal. And Buddha said that the cause of suffering is desire or craving, and that means to be caught in time, meaning craving things which pass. And beauty, money, power, external freedom, youth, all passes. And therefore, any time you crave that, there is always going to be suffering built right into the situation, by definition. Because even when I was going with the top models in the country, the most beautiful women in the world, I could feel in them the fear of what was going to happen tomorrow, when now they were only the second most beautiful girl in the world. And that's built right into the system. It's built right into the system of time. And that's what human suffering is about, is an attachment to time. What we are now happening in our culture is we are having an overdetermined, technologically overdetermined push into a place independent of time in our consciousness. We're moving to another level of consciousness. Now the only question is how fast we grow up to who we now are. See? And I dig that we grow up just as fast as we are conscious, as fast as we grow up. That is, as long as communication is what it is, so everybody's hearing what everybody else is saying, fantastic amount of informational exchange, then it boils down to the most conscious being starts to change, helps the game. It only takes one pasteur or one anything to change the nature of the entire dance, because he touches a place in where the answer is, and he brings it back, and then everybody knows it. And so it is true that in the West at the moment there is a fantastic breaking down of the attachment to the models that kept man locked in one particular organization of the universe, so that things like nationalism, racial, religion, social, economic groups are all an anachronism suddenly. And we're living with a system where for me to get a passport, I've got to pledge undying allegiance to the United States, and I'm going through some like a 1930s movie somehow, because I've seen the picture that's shot from the space capsule, and I look at the Earth and I see it's a big round sphere, we're all sitting on it, and any damn fool knows we're all in this thing. That's the unit we've got. At least that's the unit. As McLuhan says, it's now the stuff that's going on in Vietnam is going on in your backyard, because the Earth is a village. And we're still saying, now, don't cross that dirt line in the center of the strip. It's like high noon in an old Western, as far as I'm concerned. You know, that's my wheat, and I don't care if you're starving. You know, sure, it's going to take fantastic redefinitions of all the games of energy and matter and form and changes in institution, but that happens just as fast as our consciousness happens. And the United Nations can become an absurd joke, as it often is, where everybody's sitting in there protecting their own game, or it can shift at one moment and suddenly be a group of men who are involved in a collaborative unitive venture. If any of them can be touched by that place in each of them that is behind the ways in which they are separate.